I have several episodes to edit right now between Operation Recall and a mess of a conversation between us, Anything Joes, and Destro's Toyden that hopefully it's something that I can publish or hold over everyone's head one way or the other.
This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 118 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
It's always good for us to sit down and sort of decompress after a show. And a lot's been going on, right?
I'm on like a super high from the show. I accomplished every goal that I had set for myself. I spent under what I budgeted myself, and I still came back with a good haul. We actually recorded something, and like we just got to really, truly hang out. Yeah, it was like kind of really what I needed just in life in general. It was such a great experience. Everything was smooth. Everything was good. And I just left already planning on possibly just doing the same exact routine for the summer show, which they just announced the date.
Absolutely. I love this show. It's a show that I go to twice a year and I look forward to it each and every time. Steve and Larry and their staff, they put on a heck of a show. Winterfest is supposed to be the smaller of the two shows, but they've been growing. The amazing is that they went from a smaller space that was broken into three separate areas into a single 12,000 square foot room. It looks great, has easy load in. The interior itself is very comfortable and has plenty of room to grow. The negative is that the host hotel lobby is a little small, so we need to adjust for that. There is no perfect location, but this one is fantastic.
That particular chain of hotels does not have a lobby. I mean, technically, in the technical sense, yes, they have a lobby area, but it's not big. It's not designed for people. It's not designed for, you know, it's definitely not designed for 50 G.I. Joe guys to socialize.
I know Steve and Larry are aware of that, but it's a new location, so there are always going to be a couple speed bumps. I would prefer a beautiful show floor and us figuring out where to drink than a shitty floor with good drinking spots.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like you said, there's definitely room to readjust, tighten up, like, you know, shrink the aisles a little bit.
That's growth room. And we should see that in July because this Winterfest had more vendors than their normal July shows. They're on the move and there's a bunch to talk about. So I didn't know if you had a starting point for us or if you wanted me to just dive into the deep end.
I got in Friday morning at 11:30 a.m. It was a very early day for me. Huge thank you to Jaren for scooping me from the airport. An additional thank you to Greg for getting approximately zero sleep and just hanging out. They took me to that antique toy mall that I've heard those guys and I've heard you and Todd talk about a lot. It was truly crazy for a couple of reasons. Number one, when you walk to the front door, it looks like nothing. And then you open it. And it probably took us almost an hour to like casually walk through.
Mm-hmm.
It was the amount of G.I. Joe stuff in this antique mall. It was shocking because as I've said 1,000 times, there's nothing like that in my area. And when I go to flea markets, when I go to the toy shop up here, it is very rare that I find modern G.I. Joe. And even in the vintage sector, like not a lot. It seemed like, I don't know, one out of every three booths had something G.I. Joe in it.
This is the first year or the first time since we go multiple times a year that we didn't stop at the toy mall. So the opposite of your experience, right? It's your first time there and it's the first time we didn't go. So we normally leave at about 5 in the morning, sometimes a little earlier. you know, there's a time jump, so it's a 2.5 hour drive. So we're usually there by between 8 and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard. Gives us plenty of time to hit the toy mall, hit a couple comic shops, hit other toy shops, run around, have lunch, do the thing. We have a big time. Normally, that is Todd, A, and I rolling. And then Ryan is always in his car coming up a little bit later from a different part of town. We usually meet up there within about 30 minutes of each other. We'll park Todd's ride so we don't have to drop the trailer and hop in Ryan's. Or everybody hops in like Greg and Natalie's and we just ride around. We just hang out. It's a great time. This time, we get 90 minutes up the road and Todd left his money at home. His money, his wallet, his blah, 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 blah. So we turned around and went 90 minutes back. So a 2.5 hour drive became a 5.5 hour drive, maybe 6 hours because with stoppage and gas and everything else. So we showed up in time to eat lunch and load in. We missed all of the toy hunting. Did they take you to any other places beside the toy mall? Because there are other shops in town that are fantastic. And I'm failing to remember the name of it, but there's this old guy that owns this shop that is drowning, covered. I don't know the right adjective, but it's floor to ceiling toy.
No, we only went to the toy mall and then basically made our way over to the hotel, got checked in, got prepped for preview night. I made my first purchase of the trip at the antique toy mall, where I found probably one of the weirdest finds. I would have bet $1,000 I wouldn't have found anything like this at the antique toy mall. Most people listening to this will probably know that Roma Collectibles is a very regular toy vendor at all of these shows.
And regular in our conversations. Aaron is fantastic as a person and as a vendor.
Yes. And there's kind of been this long going thing for years where he would make some sort of very like slapped together custom. And generally it would have some sort of fun name, a very like goofy card back. Again, it's like very fun. Anyway, so I found, I think maybe last summer or the summer befores, Roma exclusive, booth exclusive, which was a play on Ripley from Aliens, the Alien franchise. So I found the Ripley figure and I found a Xenomorph, two separate cards. The booth was having like a 20% off sale. I think I got the combination of figures less than they were sold originally. You know, and they're super limited. And again, it's all fun. Like these are just a very fun thing that he does. He usually does one for Joe Fest. A few years ago, they did a really fun one for Winterfest, and I was able to get that at Joe Fest because he had a couple left over. It was kind of a shocking, well, this is a no-brainer, especially at that price point. I was like, I absolutely have to walk away with these.
That's a really cool grab. Funny that it's in an antique toy mall. I remember I told you that A didn't have a focus, and he, in fact, did not want to spend money at the show. He was happy to save our cash for something else and not buy anything. You remember those words?
Wow. LOL. Yes.
Load in is at 2 o'clock. 2:15, he's asking for $10. Wait, make it 20. No, 10's fine. No, make it 20. I say no. 3 o'clock, he's asking for $950. So before the show is opened, he's gone from $0 to $1,000.
Yeah, I mean, we both kind of knew that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a very funny message, but especially the jump from 10 to 20, make it 10. How about 950?
How about a clean-ass $1,000? Sure. This battering ram is from the Droids cartoon or the Ewoks cartoon, and this other thing is from the Droids cartoon. And no, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
While I'm waiting in line with Greg and Jaren, we've got a great time kind of shooting the shit, going back and forth. The door's open. And my natural instinct kicks in where, you know, it's a group conversation. It's not a one-on-one. So what I'm about to say doesn't make me a total jerk. But after about 2 minutes of the door being open, I just turn around and just dart inside to the sales floor.
You're still back to the old Joe Fest rush in and go.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be a part of it when, like, you know, when the door's open, like, hey, buddy, I'll see you inside. You know what I mean? Like, I did kind of a fast lap because I was looking for Todd because I had something for Todd. And of course, I find his booth and I do not find Todd. I just listened and I heard his laugh. He's standing there at the Roma booth We work out our thing and I go grab a figure from his booth. And I'm kind of like looping around and I'm like, really, I'm seeing honestly a lot of good stuff. And I'm just not seeing anything that is like, buy me, buy me, which is normally at this point, I make it two booths in before I'm like, I got to break the seal. I got to buy something.
I didn't even walk around preview night. I ended up talking to Rick and April, who were boothed beside us for a while. Lovely people, but it helped me keep the blinders on so that I also wasn't over budgeting. You know, I took a very limited amount of cash with me on purpose, not because I believed A, didn't want to buy anything, but because Operation Recall is ending soon and I still have to do my, I still have to finish up my order with them and the figure. I was a bit extra cautious this time. I knew A would want some things. I brought some cash, but I kept the blinders on for myself.
Now, while I did stay under budget, I do have to address that I did fall into my old ways. I stop at the toy department and I sift through. They usually have a couple bins of fairly inexpensive modern figures, generally complete. Generally, nobody caps $20 in that bin. So I go down and I find a couple ones that I like, get a little bundle deal. I walk over to the Marauder table. Generally, the two Midwest Marauders kind of bring a handful of their own stuff to sell on the side of the booth. I start nosing around and I find a bag of Snow Serpents. So I did like a rough count, threw an offer. He went with it. And there I was with 13 Snow Serpents.
You're back on your bullshit. Yeah.
Now, I will say part of this is because there was like four Snow Serpent officers in there. I have a good amount of Snow Serpents, but the officers don't pop up quite as much. I mean, none of these are rare, by the way. Actually, one of the figures I bought from Toy Department was actually a Snow Serpent officer. So I ended night one with a bag of fair price Troop Builders.
So I ended night one with nothing. Now, I did pick up a lot of acrylic from Incase Collectibles. After dinner, we get back to the hotel and we realize no one's in the lobby. You guys are in your room and we run into their room open. We jump in and we're looking around. And again, I'm keeping my pocket closed. There's some things I want, but I'm just keeping it tight. Todd finds a pretty interesting piece and he finds it in the 10 minutes that I wander off. When I get back, he is freaking out. He's telling me this story. It's awesome. I recognize immediately where he's going with the story, and I guess, and he's like, even better, Jason. He was right. Neither of us had ever seen a unpainted mask or black mask Steel Brigade sealed. He's had a couple loose. I have one loose in my Steel Brigade case, but sealed? I hadn't seen that before. We head over to your guys's. We record with Greg falling asleep. You come back to ours. Our room for a while, and I think it's about 2 a.m.-ish when we all decide to call it a night. Not bad for not having a lobby.
Yeah, not bad at all. And I also want to just add in this quick is that seems to be, that just seems to always be the case with Todd.
Oh, absolutely.
Is you'll be standing in the same exact spot looking at the same exact thing. You turn around for 2 minutes. He turns around, walks back, and then finds something that neither of you have ever seen.
Yes, it's not the first time this has happened. You're correct. It's happened to Ryan. It's happened to me. It's happened to everyone around. Todd has the magic periphery, I guess. Whatever you want to call it.
He definitely has a bit of toy finding magic. Every time that I see Todd and every time I do any sort of shopping with Todd, I say the same thing. It is just, I love going along for the ride. I love watching that guy wheel and deal.
You know, I'm
going
to have to edit all this out before he gets a big head from listening to it.
Well, maybe if he kept Skype on his computer, maybe we can get him on sometime soon. So Saturday morning, doors are open. I had the mindset of like, if I find one of the more high dollar club figures, I'd consider buying. But I was content with my, you know, troop building goodness. Got a heck of a deal the night before. I also was living in a suitcase, so I had to be smart. So I stumble into a booth, and then I see that there is a Club Ozone figure, and it has an extra helmet in the case. So I ask the fellow. He's like, oh, I believe I bought it from the club when at Joe Cons they used to have just bins of loose figures, like club figures, whether they were returns, extras, whatever. You know, what you see is what you get. I don't know if it's complete. I don't remember, whatever. The price was good, so I grabbed it. And then sitting behind the case are a pair of Assembly Required custom figures from a few years back.
Nice.
Greg asked the price, and Greg's like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, well, if you don't want them, I'm going to buy them. He gives me the, you know, approval. I grab those, and I'm like kind of laughing to myself where I got two show exclusives from two different years. One is from an entirely different state.
At a third show.
At a third show.
Nice.
You know, I just got to say, I had some great finds because I go back to the Marauder table. I'm sifting through the bins and I find a club figure that I've wanted for a few years, but I've just never pulled the trigger on because I was like, I just wanted it retail. And if I never find it at retail price, so be it. Well, I found it at retail price. And that's the Supersonic Lamprey, which is not going to stay as a Lamprey. I'm going to use that orange body as a flight suit for an Adventure Team guy, which is exactly why I didn't want to pay more than retail for it.
That'll be a good body for Adventure Team.
Yeah, I figure it'll be, you know, he's got some of the aquatic gear, so I'll have to like pair it with a, if I can figure out a aquatic flight vehicle.
So we should see this about 2028, 2029?
Oh, let's be realistic, 2040, 2050. I finished out my purchasing with a big club figure. I finally pulled the trigger on a big boa.
Nice.
I got it for the price that was offered to me from a friend a few years back, and it was just way before I had crossed into that price point. And I kind of always regretted not grabbing it because he is such a cool figure, and he comes with some amazing unreleased accessories that were part of the Rise of Cobra line that never saw the light of day standard retail.
I think I have the Kangor, but I don't have the boa.
Yeah, boa's before your time.
Okay.
It was before my time, too. They're not that much different. To be completely honest, when I got Kangor, I kind of had the thought of like, I don't need Big Boa anymore.
Fair.
Which is what every single collector says until they're like, I actually do think I need that guy.
That just means that you're just a handful of figures closer to a full run of Modern. So congrats.
Thank you.
Friday night during setup, Alexander was at the toy department booth, and he saw in a box some Metal Man 2050 out of Spain. We have the book. It's incredible. He hasn't read it since he doesn't read Spanish, but he's thumbed through it. He's gone over all the pictures and the names many, many times. So he's freaking out, and he starts demanding that Kaufman show him the Metal Man figures. Kaufman is Kaufman, and so he has fun saying no. Cut to Saturday afternoon, Kaufman actually pulls four of them out for A, and he gives them a good price. Now, I think the price would be higher if the seals were still good, but I think the glues were a bit old. I think these came out of a very special collection, so they were openable. Right? Like without having to tear them open. I think they had been opened in the past. So he's given us a pretty good price. I pull the cash out of my pocket and we can afford to buy two of the four. As I said, I specifically only brought a very limited amount of money with the intention of that or less and no more. So instead of trying to figure out how to buy all four, we bought two. And somewhere along the line, someone gave him a 12-inch Joe. So that is all we brought home from Kentuckiana. Two Spanish 3 3/4 figures and a 12-inch figure. Boom. And a whole lot of fun, a whole lot of laughs. Saturday, for most of the day, both Todd's son and A were complaining about how loud you were laughing while they were trying to sleep in our room. They didn't pay for the hotel room. They'll figure it out.
I can definitely be a loud guy, but I mean, Todd is in the room. Todd gives me a run for my money.
Oh, they gave Todd a lot of heat also.
I just want to hammer it again, like kind of pat myself on the back. I mean, hey, it's my show. I can do it. But I took way more money than I intended to spend, kind of with the mindset of like, you never know what you're going to find at these store at these shows. And I didn't want to like be down there, stumble into, say, a steal on a box set or something and be like, well, shit, now I have to try to figure this out.
I mean, speaking of that, there was, I think, a complete set of Knife Force vehicles there. Toy department always brings all of their pre-pro and their crazy whatever. Roma always brings their crazy stuff. Todd had some incredible things, like a Sergeant Slaughter apron that was only given out to Hasbro employees. Greg scored some incredible things. Jaren scored some incredible things. And that was just, you know, us from Star Wars. I mean, there was stuff from Droids. There was stuff from the Ewoks cartoon. There was plenty of rare, crazy bits there. Some Last 17 from the 12-inch, you know, Ace, and all the 12-inch guys always have something. If you didn't find something incredible at this show, you weren't looking. Obviously, those of us that are in the later half of our O-ring collection, sure, 90% of everything you see is shit you already have. That's probably true in the when you're in the later stages of the modern as well, later stages of anything. But even still, there is always plenty. There's a lot there. And so it's just really kind of reinforcing what you just said. You wanted to bring enough money just in case, but you had a goal not to overspend. And I intentionally brought very little because I didn't want to spend OR money.
So I think that pretty much buttons up Winterfest. And you came home to a massive gift that you bought for yourself.
Well, I came home to two Sky Strikers, and we've cut one open. We're going to cut the second open. Don't get it twisted. But we cut the first open. We stripped everything off the card. We stripped everything out of the box. We slapped on the stickers, and that Sky Striker has been in play since. The carded figures. Scarlet's crossbow does not have a handle, which is a bit odd. But it certainly differentiates it. You're not going to confuse it with the 97 or whatever. And she's in a pilot gear, so she doesn't really need her crossbow anyway. It's still odd. Ace comes with a pistol. Failsafe comes with the same pistol and a helmet. The new Cobra Trooper has the two light wands for doing groundwork for planes. They're cool. They're neat. The plastic doesn't feel weird. It certainly feels newer. Has a little bit of a chalkier feel than the glossy 80s paint. I think the only thing that's odd here is that Failsafe's face is real basic, disappointingly basic. And the helmets for both Failsafe and for Ripcord are very loose. They fit on, they stay on, but they come off easily. You can't really jostle them without the helmets coming off. And it's kind of a double-sided thing. On one hand, I love how loose they are because you're not going to have to worry about paint rub on the head. And some of those older 82, 83, 84 figures, the helmets were so tight, they were hard to get on and off. So it's nice that the Ripcord and Failsafe helmets are loose. The opposite side is that they're loose and they wobble around a little bit and they come off easy. And that's a little frustrating when you have them in hand and you're playing and you're running Night Force Ripcord up the side of a building to go fire on some Cobra and his helmet pops off. And you're like, damn it. Stop play, replace helmet. From the Sky Striker side, the landing gear is really neat. The way they separated the landing gear from the wings, that's very cool. The stickers are nice. They have a lot of stickers that you don't need to use, you don't have to use. They have a ton of name stickers for the windshields. So you can put Ace, you can put Scarlet, you can put whatever. And on the Cobra side, they have Cobra Commander, Cobra Trooper, Cobra Officer, Baroness, and I don't remember who else.
It's a very funny concept to me to the windshield would say Cobra Trooper.
Yeah, that's a bit silly, yes, but.
But it is 80s. If we're going to call it how it is, like,
sure.
That's not out of the realm of the original ARA run, but it's, like I said, I that just made me chuckle.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no complaints about the Sky Striker. The Sky Striker is fantastic. Like, genuinely, I like it. The stand is really cool. It works really well. The stand has a hollow points in the back so that you can store, like, some of the blast effects and the extra missiles and everything. But it's not deep enough to store any of that. So they all just stick way out. You're never going to use it for that. And then the two ground vehicles it comes with. They are the most basic, unpainted gray. It was genuinely disappointing when I pulled them out of the package and realized that they did not paint the fuel tank nor the tow vehicle. Now, I'm not saying they needed to be yellow and green like the flag versions, and the stickers are great, and the stickers are even asymmetrical, which is very cool. But they're unpainted. Like, they just call it what it is. They're gray. That's a base coat. That's the rattle can. You need to put...
When you sent the pictures over, that was a bit odd to me because I knew that the flag came with two vehicles or one vehicle.
Well, three, really. The flag comes with the Admiral's launch, and then it comes with the tow vehicle, and then it comes with the fuel vehicle.
Okay, and those are green and yellow.
Yes. And these are like modern takes on those two things. So they're the sculpts are different. They did not just copy the old sculpts. Like the fuel tanker is skinnier. It only has one pump that comes out of the back. The tow vehicle has a replacement for the engine cover that can haul missiles and a ladder, which I think is lovely. I like that a lot.
When you sent the pictures in gray, I definitely was just kind of like, okay, like this looks like a 3D rendering. Like this is a gray model. And we had talked about previously in one of our many conversations about this where reintroducing O-ring enters kind of like a weird hiccup of like, do you modernize it, but it's O-ring, or do you make it to blend in with the original? And ultimately, I think most people kind of land in the like, I would like something new, but I want the items to look like they belong with the rest of the O-ring collection.
I can tell you the updates to the Sky Striker modernized the hell out of it, but it still blends in and still looks good alongside the vintage Sky Strikers and the modern takes on the vintage Sky Strikers. So it will look nice once I set them up on display with the other 12 that I have. The two small vehicles, they very much modernize them. I don't think they blend in as well because they are a little too modern and not enough blend. I'm not a complaint. I love the look of them. I love the function of them. But then you just didn't paint them.
You answered the bigger question I had, which was sculpt-wise, how do they look? I mean, the plain gray look is just doesn't do it for me. And
it's mind-boggling, especially for the cost of the HasLab. It just and then when you look at the previous HasLabs of the Razor Crest, the Sail Barge, the Unicron, etc. It's a mess. It's a weird mess. Don't get me wrong. They're still in play. They're still getting pushed around the yard. But even A was like, why are these gray?
Yeah, I feel like even if one was gray and one was a different color, that would have probably helped.
Absolutely. You didn't have to paint both. You could have painted one and it would have been invisible that you didn't the other. One thing that I love is that they gave you the choice of the off-white or the black tail fins. The thing I don't like is that for the Sky Striker symbol, they gave you three stickers instead of four. Kind of weird. If we want to use the white ones as an alternative, we're going to have to use a different symbol. When we bust open this second Sky Striker, we'll choose black or off-white and we'll roll with it.
Maybe one of each.
Maybe one of each. But I do like the idea, like the big Cobra symbol going on that tail fin. That would be very nice. I think the only thing I don't like about the cobratizing is that you have to cover up the G.I. Joe on the side of the vehicle. That G.I. Joe should have been a sticker. And that in and of itself would have made it anything that says USA or G.I. Joe, leaving that off as an app would have made cobratizing it more natural. But I'll take it for what it is. That's fine.
I was really anxious to hear the more in-depth review, and I specifically did not ask you until we recorded because obviously this whole thing is definitely... I'm happy to know that you are loving it because, you know, I bought two... I don't know when I'm going to get around to opening one. I might wait until my room is actually finally built so I can just open it and display the jet. I'm not really in a rush to... The Razor Crest is beautiful, but it is extremely cumbersome.
The seats are 3 3/4, and that's a problem for you.
Yes.
However, those parachutes are beautiful. That doesn't help you. However, a few years ago, someone had tried to do a 3D printed conversion where you popped out the modern seat and you put in two vintage seats into a modern Sky Striker. which tells me that it shouldn't be that hard to pop a modern seat out of, like a 25th Skystriker. Maybe see if you could slide it in there and turn your HasLab into a modern Skystriker.
I mean, I'm definitely going to keep my eyes peeled. If somebody makes a 3D printed or cast, you know, design that can accommodate modern figures, I'll probably buy it. I don't know that I'll try to take apart unless I found one destroyed at a flea market.
Sure. I guess it is a little expensive to use as a custom at this point.
Yeah, because I'd say that the modern Skystrikers have unfortunately become very expensive.
That's insane, because they were always...
Well, they clearanced out. It's
every single one of them, yeah. Even the Night Boomer version was...
Yeah, it eventually hit clearance and is now astronomical. I am genuinely excited to display it, and I don't need to put the figures in it to display it. I'm just going to have it angled like it's ripping through the sky. And, you know, I'm probably going to even just wait to open it because I don't really have a place to put it right now. To be completely honest, I kind of regret opening the Razor Crest because I have it on like a bookshelf as soon as you walk in. And it is a really fun piece. At the same time, it's like huge. I do love seeing it when I come home, but I also just know that like I would probably have to break that down and put it away if I was going to open the Skystriker. And I think I'll save that as kind of more of a celebratory thing when my room is actually finished and built and I can just say, here we go. Let's crack this bad boy open, put it on the stand. But yeah, I mean, I think I feel a great sigh of relief, I guess, that it delivered for you. Because I knew it was never going to necessarily make me jump for joy. Like, I wanted this to be a massive hit.
It is a hit. So here's where we landed with the Skystriker. We played with it all Sunday. Sunday night during dinner, Alexander was introduced to the 1986 Top Gun.
Nice.
So he is playing with the Skystriker while watching Top Gun. He's like cheering like, that's a Skystriker on the screen. And we're like, yeah.
It actually is this time around.
You know, and he's old enough now where he recognizes how awful and cheesy the dialogue is. And he loved every bit of it. It's an 80s movie. So, you know, he commented on the smoking in all the rooms and everything else. During the love scene, he was like, oh, it's kissing. And he ran off to go put his dishes away. But he loved it. He loved every minute of it. And he can't wait to watch Maverick, which I haven't even watched. I've never seen it.
It's good.
Because I was waiting on him.
It's
That's what I hear.
In the closing of the episode, you know, I wanted to... Another massive thank you to Jaren for helping me out and Greg for hanging out.
Ah, screw those guys.
It was awesome to get to hang out with Podcast from the Pit. They ended up grabbing dinner with Jaren and Greg and I before I went to the airport. And I was glad that they both got to make it. Like I said, this trip was all Hanks. It was... And I got to spend a lot of FaceTime with Russell.
I got to spend none. So I couldn't find you Friday. I didn't even realize Russell was there. I hadn't seen him. I hadn't heard from him. Right at closing, I find you at his booth. And there over the intercom, Larry is like, get out.
You don't got to stay, but you got to get the hell out of here.
And so then Saturday, I meant to go by his booth, but I was just busy running around and chatting. And by the time I walked over there, he was gone. I need to reach out to him because I spent zero time with Russell. And usually he and I are the ones up till 3 a.m. just talking and chatting. He's a great guy to just sit and bullshit with.
It was funny because on both Friday and Saturday, both Greg and Jaren did like multiple laps. I spent like a good hour plus both days just chatting with him. And he was showing me some of the test shots that he got in that he's posted pictures of. And we were, you know, talking about the line and talking about life and movies. And it was such a treat. And I wish that I would have been staying Saturday so I could have grabbed dinner with him after the show. But like I said, I had to be at the airport by the time the show was closing. So I'm going to try to do that different for Summerfest. It's like funny because on one hand, it really works out because it is a fast show. But on the other hand, I'm like, you know, damn, it would be kind of nice if Saturday night was a thing. But everybody lives in driving range but me, really. I mean, close driving range. For you guys, you know, it's very feasible to pack up, say your goodbyes and hit the road.
Although that is the part that sucks. And that is honestly my least favorite thing about this show is that it is so fast that we're not staying Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, it ends at 4.
Which gives everybody enough time to get home. And if that show went till 5 or 6 on a Sunday, I mean, we'd probably turn it into a Thursday through Monday show, which we probably don't need since we're already doing that with Joe Fest. But it's a crew that I love, not just the usual 3 3/4 suspects, but even the 12-inch and some of the people that I only see at this show. Not being able to like catch dinner or do whatever like we used to do pre-COVID. It's just, I think to me, that's the most disappointing part of Kentuckiana is that I'm not there long enough, which I guess is a pretty good compliment to the show. Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.